Good morning, everybody. It feels good to be in church, doesn't it? You know how some mornings it just feels good, doesn't it? God's presence is here, amen? I brought with me a few Bibles this morning. I've got another Bible. Does this look familiar to anyone? It should look familiar to one person in this room, on the front row. This is Dad's Bible. It says on it, "Today, with love and respect from Armadale Family Church." How old do you reckon this is? 70s or 80s? Or 50s? 80s. And as you can see, it's falling apart. You know, this Bible, when I was 16, I went through a phase of just crazily highlighting everything in the Bible. Has anyone done that? You just highlighted everything. If I look in here, Psalms particularly, that's the whole of Psalms is highlighted. I don't know what I was thinking, but at 16, I was just going crazy. So that's one Bible I've got. Another one I've got is my phone this morning. Good to see you, Doug, with yours as well. Who reads their Bible in this format? All right. Who reads it in this format? That's about 50-50. Wow. Who reads both? That's also about half. Okay. All right. You know, I've got memories of this Bible as well. I remember being in Disneyland last year when Shri and I were in America. And the lines at Disneyland, some can be about 3 hours long for one ride. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? But we do it. We do it. And my memory with the Bible, the YouVersion app on the phone, is I remember with that 3 hours, I could have just stood there like everyone else was, but I chose to read my Bible for 3 hours for most of the rides. So that's the memories I have with this one. And then I got this Bible here, and the memories I have with this was I took this one to the Philippines. And I remember being in a remote village, and we had to pack ridiculously light. But I took my Bible, and I remember being in the village, and it was really tough because I like the comforts. They weren't in the village. There was no comforts there. But I remember God's word sustaining me. I didn't have much with me, but I had this Bible. And that's the memories I have with that. I don't know about you, but with your Bibles, because I've got a couple, I'm sure you have a couple. But each one I've got different memories with. Each one was doing me a different journey of my life. Each one perhaps has different purposes. I'll be taking this one again on the next missions trip. I'll be reading this one again at Adventure World in the Lions, I'm sure. How good is it to be in church? You know, over the past couple of weeks, we've been journeying, camping in Psalm 91. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Have you enjoyed camping in Psalm 91? Turn to your other neighbor, your second choice, and say, "Have you memorized Psalm 91 yet?" You know, it's not too late. Church, it's not too late. You still have time to memorize Psalm 91. It's not too late. There's still time. You know, that's a great title for a message, isn't it? Someone should preach a message called "It's Not Too Late." It's a great title. You know, for Shri and I, we did attempt the memory challenge. We did try and memorize Psalm 91. But, you know, I discovered early on in the week that Shri had the edge on me. And obviously, you can imagine, I wasn't happy with that. I mean, I can generally memorize stuff fairly well. But she had it. And I'll tell you her secret, if you'd like to know, for those playing at home. Her secret, Psalm 91 has 16 verses. So what she did was she broke it down. Monday to Friday, she just memorized 3 verses, which meant by the Saturday, she just had 1 left. So that was her tactic. It's a good plan. That's how she did it. That's how you can do it as well. 3 verses a day. So it's out of Psalm 91 that I got today's message. So if you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 91. If you don't have a Bible, I have a selection on stage that you could choose from. Psalm 91. We're going to start in Psalm 91 this morning, but we're going to end somewhere totally different. So starting in Psalm 91, ending somewhere totally different. But before we do that, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for each person that is here, God. Lord, I pray you'll help me to speak. Help me to speak clearly, Jesus. Help me to speak from you, not from me, God. Speak through me this morning, God. Lord, I pray you'll bless everybody here, God. Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you'll help me, Father, Lord. And Lord, help people's hearts to be open to this message as well, God. Lord, we give this service to you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. So Shree and I, we're in a real season of trusting God. And this is a different season than ever before, than we've ever felt before. We're discovering what it actually means to put our trust in God, to put our faith in Him. You know, it's one thing to say you trust God, but it's another thing to live it out practically, isn't it? It's one thing to trust God, but to live it out, yeah? Bit different. So Shree and I, we're young adults, we're mid-20s, and this age group is unique. In this age group, the young adult stage, you start to head in a certain direction that generally determines the rest of your life. Now, I'm not talking from experience, because obviously I'm in that journey right now, but people that are older than me tell me that it was at my age that's when they started making important decisions that directed the course of the rest of your life. Can anyone relate to that? Particularly the age 24, apparently 24, I'm not 24 anymore, but that year, that was an important year for many people. I just, particularly Jane Mills, one of the missionaries that we support here. When she was 24, she made the decision to leave Perth and go to the Philippines and do missions work, to give all this up and go there. That's what she did at 24. So important decisions happen at 24. But the question I often ask myself is this. What does the rest of my life look like? What does the rest of my life look like? What does the rest of your life look like? Is God in it? Is He at the center of your life? Or is He only in it every second Sunday when you come to church? Is He in your Monday? So He's here today, but are you taking Him tomorrow to work? I don't know what the future holds. However, I know I want Jesus at the center of it. You know, I want to trust Him with my life, trusting Him that He's got good things in store for me, trusting Him for protection, trusting Him for guidance, for peace, for provision, for good health, for a sound mind. Amen? Trusting Him. You know, God, if I have You and nothing else, I have everything. Let me say that again. God, if I have You and nothing else, I have everything. Amen? Who else agrees with that? Raise your hand. He's all we need, isn't He? He's all we need. So coming back to what I was saying before, although I don't know what the rest of my life looks like, no one does, but I know I want to trust Jesus with it. You see, I don't want to include Jesus in my plans. I want Him to be my plan. I want to rely on Him. I need to say that again. I don't want to just include Jesus in my plans. I want Him to be the plan. I want to rely on Him. Amen? And so I've titled today's message, Trusting God. Turn to your neighbor and say, Trusting God. You know, over the past 2 weeks, we've been reading Psalm 91. And it's an amazing passage in the Bible that talks about the promises of God and that His realities are bigger than our realities. Do you remember that from last week? Yeah? Pastor David, he reminded us last week that God's word is more real. God's word is more powerful, and God's word is more authoritative than the so-called realities of life. See, Dad, I was taking notes last week. I was taking notes and photos, multitasking. You know, it was a great message, and if you did miss out last week, I encourage you to buy the CD or listen to it online. It was an awesome message, and it spoke about the promises from Psalm 91. And I just want to recap. I just want to highlight a few promises that we learned from last week. First promise is from verse 1. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's a great promise, isn't it, church? Next one, verse 3. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. That's a great promise. Rescue you from every trap, deadly disease. Next one, verse 4. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. Amazing promises. Last one, verse 7. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Great promises. Psalm 91 is full of promises. That's what we learnt last week. But you know, it's one thing to read Psalm 91, even to memorize it. However, it's another thing to trust what it says. Do you believe the promises that we just read? Do you believe that He will rescue you from every trap? Do you believe that He will protect you from deadly disease? Or are you just reading it? So do we trust God's word? And if we do, what does that look like? What does trusting God look like practically? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? This morning, I want to give you 3 points. And yes, friends, this is a classic 3-point sermon. 3 points. That's where it's at. 3 points. If you're taking notes this morning, you can confidently write on the page 1, 2, 3, and just know that there's going to be 3 points coming. So this morning, I want to give you 3 points around trusting God and living that out. As I said before, it's one thing to say you are trusting God and another thing to live it out practically. It's also one thing to read God's promises, Psalm 91, and another thing to trust them, isn't it? It's one thing to read it, another thing to believe it. Amen? So my first point is, be confident in Him. Be confident in Him. Psalm 37, verse 5 says this, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him. Trust Him, church, and He will help you. You know, we need to be confident in Jesus, that He will help us with every area of our lives. You know, be confident that His promises are true. Amen? That's what faith actually is. It's confidence in Him. Confidence in His promises. Confidence in His Word. Oswald Chambers, he said this, God expects His children, that's you and I, to be so confident in Him that in any crisis, they are the ones who are reliable. Let me say that again. God expects His children, us, to be so confident in Him that in any crisis, they are the ones who are reliable. What does that mean? That means that, you know, he's saying we shouldn't just trust God up to a certain point and then take over ourselves. Rather, there should be no limitations to our trust in God, no limitations and our confidence in Him. Yeah? We shouldn't be taken over when it gets tough. No limitations. Psalm 16 is a great example of what confidence looks like. Who wrote Psalm 16? David. And David, he takes no credit for himself, but rather is confident in God, trusts in God, and gives Him all the credit. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm chapter 16, 11 verses. If you don't have your Bibles, I do have it on the screen. All right. Psalm 16. It's a bit small. I hope you can read it. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to You for refuge. I said to the Lord, You are my master. Every good thing I have comes from You. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in the sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Lord, You alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land You have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad, and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for You will not leave my soul among the dead or allow Your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of Your presence and the pleasures of living with You forever. David had confidence in Him. David had confidence in God. Let's look at verse 8 again. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. David had confidence in God, didn't he? We need to have confidence in God like David did. What a great example. I will not be shaken, for You are right beside me. One more scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, pretty famous one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, be confident in Him. Be confident in God with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Be confident in God, church. What was my first point? Be confident in God. Be confident in Him. My second point. Everyone say second point. Second point. A bit louder. Second point. I need to check that you're still with me, you see. My second point is allow God to stretch you. Allow God to stretch you. You know, Shree and I, we are in the process of planning our next missions trip with Ivan and Jane. An amazing couple that we support here. We support so many good missionaries, don't we? So many good missionaries. And we love Ivan and Jane. After returning from the Philippines earlier this year, we really felt that we needed to commit to another trip. We didn't know what that looked like, but we just knew we needed to commit. And that's not related to my message, but that might relate to your life. Maybe you just need to commit to something. A missions trip, maybe. Just commit. Just commit. And so we booked the flights, and we're going to India in January next year. And we're actually taking a team with us from this church. It's going to be amazing. Raise your hand if you've been to India. Was it good? Don't say no. Whenever you tell someone you're going to India, they go, oh, good luck. It's not encouraging, is it? Why would? But anyway, so we're in the process of booking everything for the trip. However, there are a couple of people who are coming who don't have the finances together just yet. And I remember the conversation I had with Ivan when I told him that people don't have the money. I remember it clearly. We're actually sitting at the back near the sound desk, and it was the final night of the Watoto Choir, the final night. I remember the conversation clearly because it was a life-changing conversation. In fact, any conversation I have with Ivan is a life-changing conversation. Let's be realistic. In fact, Ivan, if you're listening, it was a life-changing conversation. You're amazing, Ivan. So I was sitting at the back of the church with Ivan, and I said to him, what should I do? What should I do? Not everyone has the money for the trip. And can you guess what Ivan said to me? He said one word. So. So. Pray's also a great word, but he said so. Just so. Now, and that's a classic Ivan response, isn't it? Classic Ivan. Classic. Classic, bro. He went on to tell me, Ivan went on to tell me that if I believed that these people should be on the trip, then we needed to trust God for the money. Now, I must be honest with you. I didn't respond very well to Ivan. I actually just looked at him blankly for about 30 seconds. You know, I mean, I've trusted God before, but to trust him for money that doesn't exist, to believe that it will exist, that's a whole nother level of trust for me. Yeah? Maybe you have levels of trust as well. You know, I trust God for this part of my life, but this, no, I'm responsible for that. I can't give that over. Yeah, anyone can you relate to that? Or is that just me? Levels of trust. So I started asking myself, where was the money going to come from? How would God provide? You know, it's amazing how quickly we can begin doubting God, isn't it? You find out how much you trust God when you're put in a place of trusting God. You find out how much you trust God when you're put in a place of trusting God. Do you agree?
Yeah.
And Ivan finished telling me, which goes on with my point number two. He said this. Ivan said, this is where God stretches you, Ben. You're trusting him with something you never have before, and he's going to stretch you. He's going to stretch your trust in him. You know, immediately I felt conviction. Thanks, Ivan. Thanks for the conviction. You know, I wasn't trusting God with everything, all areas of my life. I thought I was, but I wasn't. I was only trusting him with what was comfortable. But you know, if I say I trust God, if we say we trust God, then we need to believe he can provide. I needed to believe he could provide financially for the trip. I needed to believe he can provide in every way, not just this, what's comfortable, every aspect of my life. I needed to believe that. And so you know what I learned from speaking with Ivan? I learned I needed to start trusting God with greater things. I needed him to stretch me. Amen? Who wants to be stretched this morning? Yeah? Allow God to stretch you, church. Allow God to stretch me. Let me trust you, God. Help me to trust you. What was point number one? And number two? Point number three. Turn to your neighbor and say, point number three. If you're taking notes, it's number three. Number three. Are you ready for this? I'm not sure if you can handle it. This one's an interesting one. My last point is this. Commonplace breeds complacency and complacency breeds ineffectiveness. I'll give you time to write that down. Complacency is C-O-M. It's a fairly broad statement. Let's break it down. What level of trust are you giving God? Are you in a common place of trust? You know, another word for commonplace is comfort zone. Maybe you're in a comfort zone of trusting God. You know, I love this image. A comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. A comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. And I don't know what you think about this, but I feel that since it says unknown, I feel like I can say I wrote that, and no one can disagree with it. Maybe you're in a comfort zone. And you know, a comfort zone is ineffective. Let's look back at point number three. If we ever get to a place of complacency with our trust in God, we are ineffective as believers because we're not being all that we are called to be in Christ. We are called to trust Him, church. The ineffective Christian is someone that is stuck in a common place of trusting God. Let me say that again. The ineffective Christian is someone that is stuck in a common place of trusting God. I don't want to be ineffective, do you? You know, I say this because our trust in God should always be growing and moving forward, just like that image said about the comfort zone. You know, the Bible tells us that for all of God's promises, such as the many listed in Psalm 91, many listed throughout the whole Bible, there is a condition. And that condition is that we need to trust Him. We need to trust God. That's the condition. We need to trust Him. The more you trust God, the more God is able to meet the needs in your life. The more you trust God, the more God is able to meet the needs in your life. And the more these scriptures, Psalm 91, can become a reality for you. Don't be in a common place in your trust with God. When was the last time you stepped out into the unknown with your trust? Give Him trust of new areas of your life. Give Him trust in all areas of your life. Amen? Psalm 20, verse 7 in the NIV says this: some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. What a great scripture. You know, I want to be someone that trusts only in Him. I don't want to trust in possessions. I don't want to trust in other people. I only want to trust in Jesus. Who's with me? Yeah. To give me further context to this last point, because it's broad, isn't it? A few words. Complacency. C-O-M-P-L. I use the three C's to define complacency. Turn to your neighbor and say three C's. The three C's. Turn to your other neighbor and say the plane is landing. The tarmac is in view. We're coming home. The three C's I use to define complacency is convenience, contentment, and coziness. Convenience, contentment, and coziness. Now, these three C's are perfect for defining McDonald's. McDonald's it's pretty convenient, isn't it? They're everywhere, and it's really fast. Is that tempting anybody? You know, McDonald's also leaves you feeling content, you know, because it's so awesome, the burger, yeah? I mean, also, you feel regretful as well, but there's also a massive level of contentment there. McDonald's also is coziness because you can hop in your car while in your PJs and drive through the drive-thru and eat it in the coziness of your car. So those three words, they define McDonald's pretty well. However, those three words, the three C's, should not define our trust in God. Let's break it down. I don't want convenience. I don't want to trust God just when it suits me, when I need something like a favor. I want to trust Him at all times, not just when it's convenient. Amen? I don't want contentment. I want to trust Him with new areas of my life every day. I want to trust God to take me in the unknown. Who's with me? Take me into the unknown. You know, I want my trust with God to be a growing journey, not a destination that I reach. Let me say that again. You must write it down. This is a good one. I want my trust with God to be a growing journey, not a destination that I reach. I always want to be growing in Him. Who's with me? Lastly, I don't want coziness. I don't want to trust God when it feels good or when it feels safe. I want to trust Him when it's uncomfortable. Growing isn't always an easy thing, is it? But it's a necessary thing. Same with our trust in God. It's not easy, but it's necessary. Take me into the unknown. Take me into the unknown, God. What was point number one? Point number two? And do I dare say number three? And how do you spell complacency? Joking. In closing, church, we need to be confident in Him. We need to allow God to stretch us. And lastly, get out of the comfort zone when it comes to trusting God. And not just trust Him when it's convenient or when we feel content or when it feels good. Our trust in God needs to grow. As believers, as Christians, our trust in God needs to grow every day. Do you agree? We need to surrender everything to Him, church. We need to surrender everything to Him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You. I thank You for giving me the words this morning. Lord, I pray You'll speak to people this morning, God. I pray You have spoken to people this morning, God. I pray people will be encouraged to trust You more, God. Not just to trust You when it's comfortable, but to trust You in all areas of their life, Jesus, God. Lord, I pray that we will be a people, we will be a church, God, that surrenders it all to You, God. That surrenders it all to You, Jesus. Lord, I pray that people right now, God, Lord, will feel encouragement, God, and that will, as they leave today, God, they will trust You with new areas, Jesus. Guide us, Father. Lead us, Jesus. May we give it all to You, God. Give You everything, God. Not just some areas. All areas, God. Lord, I thank You for today, Jesus. I thank You for Your word. You are a great God, Lord. And we are so thankful, God, that we can trust You. We are thankful, Lord, that we can put our hope in You, put our faith in You, God. And You don't fail us, Jesus. Lord, help us to have confidence like David did, Jesus. Help us to give You all the credit, Father. In Your name, amen.